Final hour of power here on this Wednesday edition of the Chris Russell Show. It is a Windbag Wednesday. You can hit us up, 301-230-0980. No Nick Allegretti. We will get him for you all tomorrow. Big show planned for tomorrow. We'll take a peek ahead. It is actually opening night in the NBA for the Wizards tomorrow, so I'm sure we'll discuss that as well. But if you're just joining us, no Nick Allegretti today. We've bumped him over to tomorrow. He's too important for us. He's got too many things to do for us, which I get.
Yeah, meetings and all that jazz.
He's a professional football player.
That means we have time for more phone calls, right? I mean, who doesn't love the pulse of the fan? And more importantly, maybe it'll keep us from... Although I think the last half an hour, we've been very civil to each other. So let's get back to it on the phones. Say hello to John in Falls Church. What's up, Johnny? How are you?
Hey, John.
Hey, I started this call an hour and a half ago thinking about it, talk about one thing, but I'm just going to rapid fire through like a few topics and you guys can comment at the end if that's okay with you, or you can interrupt me at any time because it's your show.
Sure.
What's Chris's show?
First of all, Linnell, you're great. Don't let Chris beat you up. Chris is my favorite host on this show or on the station, but he sometimes acts like the younger sibling that's always wanted a little brother to beat up on. So just let it go.
Trust me, you're doing
wonderful.
That's funny.
And it's too bad that Washington's not an NBA town at the moment because it's really a fun sport and it's really at a peak right now. And it's too bad that we can't be all excited that the season's starting in the same way that we would be for 10 or 12 other cities right in the country. Third, I forgot about this, but Fernando Mania, I'm old enough, unfortunately, to remember that. It was awesome.
That's where I'm going to jump in with you because I'm right there with you, man. I forget how old you are, but I'm 51 now. You remember 81. I don't remember him in 80, late in the season, which is when he came up. But 81, you know, when baseball was still not on every day and all that stuff, Fernando Mania and Tommy Lasorda just took the world by storm.
I'm a Giants fan, and I remember just being a little kid, and you know, back then it was newspaper was king.
Yep.
And I'd run and try to race my dad to get the sports section, and I would scour it, you know, knowing that that was my first chance to get the news about how Fernando did the previous day.
Yeah.
And he never disappointed.
Nope. I think he had 8 shutouts in his rookie year of 81. And how ironic is this for just us old time baseball seamheads? The Dodgers beat the Yankees in the World Series in 1981, his full rookie year, when he was so dominant when Fernando Mania was officially born. And, of course...
Do you remember when Goose Gossage plunked Ron Say in the head in that game?
Yeah. But I guess what I was saying is, I mean, if symmetry is anything, you know, just after Fernando, you know, passes away, the Dodgers and the Yankees go at it in the World Series. And I'm hoping the Dodgers beat the Yankees, but... You know, maybe somebody else is hoping for something else. But anyway.
The last thing was, I think Jaden, I don't know, this can't, like, none of this can be a good sign for his long-term future. Just, like, how the guys that run like he does and survive are, like, big, big dudes.
Yeah.
And I just hope that, for his sake, that he figures it out and that this can be an exciting player for the Commanders for a long time because he's wonderful, but it just... It scares me a little bit to know that, you know, we don't know about his ribs. And this is only his first year, God. And he knew this coming in the league. That was his downfall.
John, you just committed a cardinal sin. You just upset the youngest in charge, who you praised. But I appreciate your sentiment because you're approaching it with a realistic, common sense view that this is not just one thing and it's going to clear up and it's never going to happen again, you know, kind of thing.
No one said that,
like, you know, you get through this and you never have to worry again. Now, to be fair, I might be, again, a little less glass half full, but the bottom line is this is just going to be probably one of... You know, probably many concerns over the course of his career, and hopefully it's not that, but in all realistic and likelihood, it is going to be that. Thank you, John. Appreciate you getting in and the good words, and sorry about the long wait. I know you get very mad when people have the mere audacity to say that injuries are a concern.
Stop, Chris.
They are a concern.
No one.
They are a concern.
You gotta stop doing that.
Why? Why would you walk around going, they're not a concern?
I'm not saying that the injuries are not a concern, Chris.
Well, what
I'm saying
are you
it's
saying?
Not something that I'm going to fret over and be worried about every second.
Well, that's you.
It's not a concern until it becomes a concern.
Well, no. It doesn't work that way.
Yes, it does, Chris, because everyone's playing the same damn sport.
No.
They all have a chance to get hurt, Chris.
It doesn't work that
way. You don't worry about injuries until a guy gets hurt.
Right. It does. You understand, like just like you pointed out, there's a difference between a left guard and a quarterback. The guy with the ball in his hands is more susceptible, especially one that is mobile and making plays and turning back into the field as opposed to turning outside and running down.
He got hurt. He fell awkwardly and got hurt.
He got dragged down.
He fell awkwardly and his body got contorted in an awkward way.
Because he was being pulled down.
He did a damn somersault. No.
Yes.
Because he was trying to get into a slide. Because you nincompoops are so pressed about him sliding. He was trying to get into a slide.
So the Carolina Panthers did not touch him at all.
Chris, it's not like it was some blunt force trauma that caused the injury, Chris.
I didn't say that.
He could have gotten that injury getting sacked in the pocket. Chris, what the hell
was last week? That was last week when he had blunt force delivered by Kyle Hamilton 2 seconds after he threw the ball.
Chris, my point is the injury that he suffered could have happened in the pocket. Like, he fell awkward. It was an awkward fall.
Yes, it could have, but it didn't.
Okay, so what do you want him to not run no more?
No, I didn't say that.
So what are you talking about? What's the point?
I wish he would have run out to the outside and run out of bounds.
Chris, he had a massive game. Like, I'm not upset about what happened.
Okay.
It's a part of the game.
All right, that's you.
Which, for whatever reason, you refuse to acknowledge that injuries are a part of the sport, man.
I acknowledge it all the time.
But, Chris, it's not something that you should be spending time. I hope he doesn't get hurt.
I mean, Brandon Coleman got a concussion. It's part of the game. It happens.
Correct.
Right. But that doesn't mean that you.
I do worry more about Brandon Coleman because that could be something that lingers.
Which is weird because
I'm more concerned about a head injury than a rib injury. Yeah, that's weird, right?
Yeah. Well.
What?
I mean, both can linger. Both can come back.
What's more damaging to the long-term future?
Of course.
Okay, then. So why are you acting like you don't know what I'm talking about?
But the fact that you just dismiss.
I'm not dismissing it, Chris.
I
quite literally said I'm more concerned about Brandon Coleman's head than Jaden's ribs.
Are you talking
because it's
about
a head injury?
Are you talking about from his football availability or the rest of his life availability?
Both.
Okay. That's a different argument. Concussions obviously are clearly.
And that's all I was trying to say,
okay,
Chris.
Well,
and you know
I thought you were talking about
you're
from a football.
You're picking on me. It's like the sports equivalent of you give me a nugget.
You know, I do need a little brother. I mean, I do need a little brother. Mine unfortunately didn't make it.
The most grave thing that you could have possibly said, and I can't believe you just said that.
Let's go to Rick in D.C. What's up, Rick? How are you?
Rick, talk to Chris and tell him
how are you?
What's going on, Rick?
What's up, Rick?
Hello?
Yes, how are you?
All right. I'm great. What we need to do is don't rush Jaden Daniels out there. Let him sit another week. Let that rib heal. We've already been through that with Robert Griffin III. So, I mean, you know, we have three quarterbacks on the roster. So, let him heal. I mean, one player is not the whole team. And I like the direction we're going in. So, you know, let him sit another week.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it. You heard Linnell grumble. It is completely different injuries. Obviously, one was knee, one is ribs. But here's where it's going to be interesting. Robert was hell-bent on coming back because he was so worried.
He didn't care about Kirk.
So worried about Kirk.
Which he should have been.
Jaden Daniels is not worried that Marcus Mariota is going to take his job.
No.
Nor should he be.
And Marcus doesn't think he's going to get the job. He learned his lesson in Atlanta, I hope.
Right.
About trying to take jobs from kids that were drafted ahead of you.
You mean before he quit and became a terrible teammate? And branded as such forever? Just asking. Let's go to, where are we going here? D.C. and Waldorf. What's up, D.C.? How are you?
How can you be D.C. and Waldorf?
Oh,
Hey, I'm very well. Russell, how are you? Lanell as well.
Good, DC. Isn't Waldorf your? Isn't that your neighborhood? No, you're.
I don't. No, Chris. Okay. I do not live in Afghanistan.
Wait, Waldorf is Afghanistan?
It might as well be in terms of distance. Good gracious.
Well, I don't know. I have no idea. It's not like you've ever invited me over for dinner or anything like that, or, you know, a cocktail after work or anything. I mean, it's not like you've, you know, invited me. So I didn't know where you lived.
You almost think we didn't have a caller on the line. Caller, what do you have?
Anyway.
What do you got?
Hey, guys, it's great prices out here, man. You got to check it out. Gas and everything.
No, seriously, I'm actually looking for an apartment at Waldorf as we speak. No funny. That's real life.
He wants to move to Afghanistan.
CDC, we're going to both be invited when he finally gets the apartment. And he's going to cook for us too, and we're not going to die from food poisoning.
Oh man,
Chris, you eat anything?
I'm definitely coming.
There you go. What's up?
So first, Russell.
Yes.
We just had this conversation last week about JD, right?
So
I know you're salivating at the opportunity that he's hurt and
he's waiting on it. He was praying on it.
He's salivating right now. Like Lanell just cooked us a meal.
DC, you wait. Let me just clarify something. You two think I'm happy that Jaden got hurt?
Because it proves your little stupid narrative. Yes, you're happy about it.
It's right. Mm-hmm. Right, your preseason draft prediction, I told you, that all falls into this. I know you're not happy. I know you don't want to see anyone hurt. But I'm just saying, it leads to your prediction. But this is what I want to say. The good thing is he had an injury. He came out of the game. He got it checked out. We definitely know it's not a cracked rib, fractured rib, or anything like that, because just to breathe is hard. So to lift his arms up and down, to wave and do all of those things, he wouldn't be able to do that. But also along those good things that happen is they're going to take it, and they said it's a week-to-week thing. I honestly think it's just a this-week thing. If he can have the pain tolerance, he will continue to heal because, again, it's not something that's broke that you just have to sit and don't do anything with. That's what happens when your ribs are cracked. You have to literally do nothing and let it heal because I've experienced it.
All right. Appreciate you, DC. Here's one thing that I would say. It doesn't just have to be broken to have pain or discomfort or some sort of swelling or strain, whatever. Our guy Rocky Pinnick sent us something, right?
Mm-hmm.
Soft tissue rib injuries can include bruising, strained muscles, torn cartilage. It breaks down all of the medical diagnosis, right? And how you can possibly get them. And then it says most healing from a rib injury occurs within 6 to 8 weeks, but it's normal to feel some discomfort for longer than that. And then basically it says, you know, of course you should call your doctor. You didn't have to call a doctor. He's being checked regularly by team doctors and internists and trainers and whatnot. But, you know, if you have pain that prevents you from breathing deeply or coughing, fever, coughing up blood, shortness of breath, side effects, you know, whatever, and all that. I mean, my point is, because we don't know what it is. We don't know if it's bruising.
If you read,
we don't
right
know
here,
if it's
Chris?
Straining intercostal muscles. We don't know if it's torn cartilage. We don't know if it's swelling. We don't know anything. But
I'm raising my hand so you can call him.
Yes, please.
If you would,
young Lanell, go ahead.
I think it's literally telling us what it is right here by the diagnosis based on the description and the symptoms. The muscles, so this is very strained intercostal muscles. The muscles between the ribs can become strained by activities that involve forceful twisting or swinging of the arm, such as golf or tennis.
Yeah.
So I think
it doesn't say throwing a football, but there are similar.
The movement. Yeah. So I'm assuming it is the strain.
Okay, but again,
is that not a
just to play devil's advocate, because we don't know that,
correct.
We can assume it, but we don't know it.
But are you comfortable assuming that it's the strain more likely than the other things based off of this literal symptoms?
If I had to guess, this is just a guess.
Educated guess, because you have information.
A semi-educated guess. Yeah, I would probably say that's more likely than anything.
That's based off the symptoms.
Yeah, which is good news, as they've tried to sell us on.
Right.
But I would also say this, that if it's strained intercostal muscles, right, and it's, you know, the muscles between the ribs and whatever, that involve forceful twisting or swing. What I'm, I guess, concerned about is even if he misses this week, which, again, I believe he will not play this week, and everybody has a different belief. What happens when he goes out next Wednesday and he's been symptom-free for 3 or 4 days or 5 days or a week or whatever it is, and all of a sudden he starts to throw, and for whatever reason he torques or twists or whatever his body and his intercostal muscles? Is there then a setback to 4 to 6 weeks? Is there, you know, that's what we don't know.
That's
and,
why
and when we
I'm,
have no exact basis to start on, even if we knew, we wouldn't know. But I guess what I'm concerned about is I don't know if there's any doctors that can 100% tell you, hey, man, rest up. You're not feeling any symptoms. You're fine. Everything checks out good. You're not feeling any pain, any discomfort. A week and a half now, you've been, you know, resting, you haven't torqued, you haven't thrown, whatever. Now go out and take the next step. Run. Don't even throw. Run. And then, wow, something happens. Right? I've seen the way these guys run in the weight room, right? They run pretty damn fast when they're trying to get a good cardio workout, when they're trying to test, right? So what if something happens, right? A doctor can tell you a lot, but a doctor can't tell you everything.
For sure. That's what I was trying to continue to say. But I think when the discomfort goes away, that's when I'd be most comfortable playing them. Now, if that discomfort is going to take 6 to 8 weeks, I think that's just the timeline for the injury. Mm-hmm. There's things you could do. But, like, if it is that strain, a Kevlar vest isn't going to help that.
Well, that's what Dan Quinn said. That there's no more padding necessary. There's no more vest. There's no...
Meaning he's screaming to you that it's a strain.
Well, he's screaming. Say it. That's all.
But he...
Just give us some clarity. Let's go to... this should be fun. Joe in Westminster on line six here says this is the dumbest radio show he's ever heard in his entire life. Go ahead, Joe.
I literally feel my IQ points dripping away listening to you, Chris.
Really?
I was listening to this.
How much of an IQ do you have, Joe?
Went into my office, came out, and you're still talking the same thing. This kid got a rib boo-boo. He's not a hothouse flower, bro.
Oh.
This kid's been playing football his whole life.
Okay, bro.
And he's not that small. So I don't know what the hell you're trying to do. Dan Snyder isn't the owner here anymore.
Hey, bro, what do you know?
What do you know?
Do you know anything?
You know,
are you a doctor, bro?
What do you know?
Are you
what
a doctor,
do you know?
Bro? I'm
you know?
A radio host.
You,
I have a right
you,
to ask questions, you idiot. You dumbass.
Woo! If you're going to do that, you need to start telling us so we can record you.
He's recording the whole show.
I want to see your cherry red face.
That guy came on. He can think whatever he wants to think. We've talked about Marcus Mariota and the viability of Marcus Mariota. We've talked about the Chicago Bears offense, defense. He knows nothing. Okay, and then he comes on and calls me bro, we're friends or something. We're not friends, Joe. You're nothing. I have a 3-hour forum to express my opinions and my thoughts and my concerns and my questions. That's what I am. You are Joe in frickin' Westminster. I don't even know where Westminster is, but it could be on Mars for all I care about. Go to hell.
I'm assuming Pennsylvania. And I told you.
Westminster is in Maryland. What are y'all talking about? It's by Baltimore. The Ravens literally practice in Westminster.
I only know the Westminster Kennel Club.
Owings Mills. They were previously in Westminster, though.
Exactly.
Westminster is in Maryland.
Yeah, okay. All right. Fine.
I just got a text saying Slim just spanked the rooster.
I told Chris just to come on and say, oh, you're listening?
Yeah, now
and then hang up. Because that's the point. Thank you for listening.
I mean,
we appreciate you. It might be the dumbest show you listen to.
No, see, I wanted to give Joe an opportunity to tell me why I was so stupid. Because that's what he was accusing me of doing.
See, that's a mistake.
That's what he was accusing me of doing. And how dare I? How dare I wonder what we're dealing with here when the head coach refuses to tell you over and over and over again what exactly we're dealing with. How dare you, dumbass rooster? How dare you, you idiot? How dare you have the audacity to not take everything at face value? He's no primrose flower or whatever the hell he called him. He's been playing football his whole life. So what if he's got an injury? So what if you're worried? He'll get up and he'll live another day.
I mean, he will, though, Chris.
Yes.
My whole point with all of this, which you is like, I know, and I agree with what the caller before said. You're not hoping for Jaden Daniels to get hurt because you're the nicest dude I've ever met. It fulfills your ego by him getting hurt because you were prognosticating this months ago. Would you not? But my point is, the injury that he suffered, Chris, is a non-contact injury, and it happened to be contact, but the contact is not what caused it. He was contorted in an awkward way.
No, no.
If I bend over too quick, I can strain my ribs.
Absolutely.
So my whole point and premise of it is like, his play style is not going to change. Dan and company have said that his play style is not going to change.
I'm not advocating for it to change. I know it's not going to change.
Injuries are going to be something that we worry about with him because of the play style.
Right.
When I say worry, I feel like it's almost too strong of a word because I think you really each and snap in, snap out, looking to, is he going to get hurt this play?
I'm scared to death, yes.
Are you actually?
I'm scared to death every day of my life. Sorry, I am. About me, about my family, about...
Have you never talked to him while he was driving?
Well, I have.
Yes.
So you should understand.
Was I not scared to death that you were not going to make it here because of what I was hearing? Yes. Because of what I have to deal with every day?
No,
sure.
That's because I cuss these non-driving-ass Marylanders out like a sailor. I don't care. Marylanders can't drive.
Take
Virginians can't drive. D.C. residents can't drive.
Only Linnell Willingham.
Only Linnell Willingham.
The youngest in
charge.
And the leaders of the movement.
And the leader of the movement can drive.
The committee, too. Don't forget about them. The 32-person committee that does Nell's Super Six Party Pack thing. Whatever. I might be selling Super Six Packs after this show. On the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, I apologize for maybe losing my cool a little bit there.
Don't apologize.
But when you call up the radio show and you say, I went into the office an hour earlier and you were talking about the same thing and now you're still talking about the same thing and it's dumb and it's stupid and he's a young football player and he's going to get hurt again and whatever, you lack complete and total context and understanding of what happens in this medium, okay? We don't have, this isn't TV, guys. Boys and girls, children of all ages. This isn't two-minute highlight packages. Okay, no offense. They do a wonderful job on local TV in this area. This isn't two-minute radio, okay? If it was, you wouldn't be hearing the same thing. Or you wouldn't find, you know, it would be a different show. We'd move on or whatever. And we have moved on. You can't skip out an hour of the radio show and be like, oh, I came back and you were talking about the same thing. Yeah, we're talking about Jaden Daniels and his viability and his health. Yeah, of course we're going to be talking a lot about that. He's the starting quarterback. He's been the best quarterback, arguably, in the NFL all year, in his rookie year. They're 5-2, largely because of Jaden Daniels. Of course we're going to be talking about that. Period.
Yeah, I would be damned if I ever let any one of these brainless farts control what I talk about. Better ask somebody.
Let's go to Frank in North Carolina on the Odyssey app. Frank, how are you?
Frankie.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up, Frank? Be on your best behavior, Frank. Be on your best behavior.
I am. No, I am not like that last cat, man. But as far as I like what you just said. Just a few seconds ago, Rooster, where you said that Jaden is largely responsible for the 5-2 record, because I believe that. But you've had callers that call up here, and they call on the Sheehan show as well, Sabah, who thinks that he's not. You know what I'm saying? Even though Sheehan had debated her and said, hey, no, he's about 75%. Other 25% is Cliff and a few other people. She said, no, it's not the way around. It's 25-75. She's a Jaden hater, okay? Sabah, I'm saying it right now. Sabah is a Jaden hater. You hear me?
I would say she's critical or skeptical of him. I don't think it's fair to say hater.
No. Well, I don't mean hate her. I haven't hated him. I mean, right. she didn't prefer him. She preferred that guy in New England.
That's fair. Frank,
she preferred Taylor Heineke. You know what I'm saying?
Frank and Chris, why the hell does what validity does Sabah's opinion have? What the? She's a damn doctor. Of course she doesn't know. Why do y'all give her so much credence?
I was just bringing that up because he said something that really resonated with me. That's why I did that. Now back to the topic.
Okay.
So, in regards to Mariota starting, no, I'm not comfortable with Mariota. I've said that on the Sheehan show. I would rather not see him again. But if we have to start him, we'll have to start him. But there's a good chance that we will not win this game because it's not so much of him because personally I think he's a running back trying to play quarterback. To be honest with you, but. Our DBs are going to get cooked. We're forgetting that they have some great receivers in Chicago. They have three of them, and one of them torched us last year on Thursday night.
Yeah,
by himself. Yep. Okay, and they got three of them this year. Okay, so our DBs are going to get cooked. Period.
Well,
and so I just thought. Go ahead.
Yeah, no. I mean, that is a fair point. I mean, I don't know if we should just automatically just say they have no chance and that they're going to get cooked because if Caleb Williams, again, just tries to make a couple of sometimes Caleb Williams-ish type decisions because he's trying to do too much or because he's under pressure, maybe that allows the quarterbacks not to get cooked. I mean, they are different. Mikey Sanders still wasn't here last year. I know Emmanuel Forbes is back, but maybe he gets a little more confidence from that interception and from, maybe a good week of practice. Who knows? So, I mean, the game could be – and Noah Igbinoghene wasn't here last year. So
I just think when
And my last point, and I'm going to let you go. My last point is that – I think that, you know, with Mariota's history, and like I said, I still believe he's a running back trying to play quarterback. Mm-hmm. He's going to throw a few. He's going to throw them at least two, okay? And the crippling difference between him and Jaden.
Yeah.
As far as in release, velocity, all that stuff, dynamic, all that stuff. And so I just don't see us really winning this game. And I think this is the game that's actually going to possibly, and I know I'm thinking ahead, that will be eliminated from actually having a chance to make the playoffs.
I think that's too far. Thank you, Frank.
You're far down the line. But I think for those of you concerned about Chicago's offense, like Caleb Williams is not what scares me about their offense. It is if they can get the running game going. Like that to me is – they're trying to mimic what's going on here in Washington. They're using tempo all of a sudden. They're running the football more. They see what works with a damn young quarterback because Cliff has been a godsend for this franchise.
Yep.
But, like, that to me is the most important thing when we talk about Chicago and stopping them. I don't worry necessarily about the defensive backs because Caleb's got to get them the football. My question is going to be how do they choose to defend this? Because I don't think we have the personnel to defend Chicago with a light box. But I understand the threats that they have on the perimeter, so you're going to want to play your two high safety. Look. That's the problem when you stink on defense.
Well, that's going to be tomorrow's conversation because I promise you it's not going to be what today's was. It's different every day, okay? Everybody else does the same show every day in, day out. We don't, okay? So tomorrow will be about the defense. I agree with a lot of what you just said, but I also disagree. And maybe I'll feel differently after I watch the Bears more intently tonight. But the bottom line is – I do think this, like, if you watch this run defense at times, if you watch this defense at times, it is capable of being dominant.
Mm-hmm.
It is capable of being dominant. Can they be consistent?
Capable of being dominant against terrible offenses,
well,
Chris.
They were dominant on one series and a couple of plays against Baltimore. Not enough. Not enough.
I wouldn't say anything that they did against Baltimore was dominant.
Then you didn't watch the same game either.
Did you watch the first drive last week?
I said one series and a couple of other plays.
What would the conversation be like if Andy Dalton didn't choose?
I watched the first series live. I watched it on tape several times.
But what would the conversation be if Andy Dalton didn't choose to throw the ball directly to Dante Fowler? What would the conversation be if the receiver and Andy were on the same page when Emmanuel Forbes lucked into an interception?
Favorite
game to play.
Conversation would be different.
I'm just being hypothetical.
I mean, what would the conversation be if Dante Fowler and Cleveland Farrell weren't flying all over in a three-play sequence on that first drive before the interception to Dante Fowler? Like, what would the conversation be if the run defense wasn't as good as it was on a drive up 17-0 in the second quarter, and then it continued on to the next drive? I mean, we could play the what-if game all we want. It was what it was, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there were some concerns, and they were duly noted on this show on Monday. There were some concerns, and then there were also some big-time performances. Will it be the same against the Bears? Probably not, and that's why you have to adjust your prism. You have to adjust your prism and think that possibly they could be in for a long afternoon, whether it be run or pass. All right, we got to take a timeout. We got to do a trending alert. We will come back, clean up on aisle three. Don't know if we're going to be able to get to any more phone calls. Sorry, that's just the way it works. We will return in just a moment after the latest trending alert. All right, the Capitals have won four in a row after a dismal season opening performance against New Jersey. They beat Jersey in overtime Saturday night, couple of days off, and they hammered Philadelphia last night at Wells Fargo Center. Two shorthanded goals, everybody getting involved in the party. And tonight they look for win number five in a row at 7:30 for the puck drop, 7:15 for the radio coverage. The only place you get local call and local coverage of this particular Capitals Flyers rematch is over on 106.7 The Fan and the Odyssey app. Meanwhile, the NBA night two continues, but still the Wizards with another night to wait. They'll take on the defending and host the defending world champion Boston Celtics tomorrow night right here on the Team 980. Pre-game coverage at 6:45. Hoffman will be there for his show starting at 4 tonight. A couple of interesting matchups to get the season started for everyone else after Bronny and LeBron did their thing last night and after the Celtics hammered the Knicks, including a good one, Orlando and Miami at 7:30. Milwaukee, Philadelphia, Philly dealing with all sorts of injuries, and Cleveland, Toronto should be pretty interesting as well, all among the early slate. And in the NFL, while we've been talking about Jaden Daniels and Marcus Mariota, it's been announced by head coach Dave Canales of the Carolina Panthers that Andy Dalton might be the backup on Sunday for the Carolina Panthers against Denver. Might be. And that means that Bryce Young will start for Carolina again against Denver after Dalton and his family were involved in a car accident on Tuesday. And that's what's trending. All right, there's a ton of things that we have not been able to get to because we're, you know, obviously spent a lot of the show arguing about Jaden Daniels and his short-term future, and as well Marcus Mariota and a healthy dose of a look ahead at the Bears. But a lot going on in the sports world, including locally and nationally, so we do that as part of cleanup on aisle three. I hope Matt's okay with it, because I didn't really ask. What we may have missed, what we forgot, what we need to touch on, what we promoted that we didn't get to. And even if it's just a minute or two, a mention.
Clean up in aisle three.
Clean up on aisle three. All right, let's start it nationally with the NFL. A bunch of trades made earlier today, including DeAndre Hopkins going from Tennessee to Kansas City. A quick thought on that, because we haven't even addressed. Obviously, Kansas City has been looking for some sort of an established help at the wide receiver spot because they've had so many injuries. So we know it makes sense. Can Hopkins essentially assure them of being an explosive offense again?
No. I don't really understand. I mean, I understand the move to add help on the perimeter, but, like, it's not Kansas City's problem. Kansas City's problem is 15 won't stop throwing it to the other team. I don't know if a wide receiver is going to change that.
Maybe he's doing that because he's trying to find somebody he can trust and that can get open. And because Kelsey was off to a really, really, really slow start. Maybe. I don't know. Hey. I don't watch the Chiefs snap in, snap out. Obviously, they're 6-0.
Yeah, Pat was bad on Sunday. He played his worst game of the season on Sunday.
That's
fair.
And maybe they thought so, too. Now, that's against a better not a great defense, but one of the better defenses in the NFL and on the road, and they still won by how many points? 15, whatever it was? And they're 6-0, right? Or 7-0?
Sure.
6-0, 7-0? 6-0. All right. Also, so you got that. There was a couple of other, you know, smaller moves that nobody cares really about. The Texans added Devin White, who's bounced around now to a couple of teams. I don't think that's a big thing, but we never know how it's going to play out. The Seahawks also traded for Jerome Baker. For Ernest Jones IV, Jerome Baker, they traded back. Again, I don't think that's anything anybody really is getting fired up about. I mentioned during the trending alert, Bryce Young is going to start for the Carolina Panthers because of Andy Dalton's car accident. But also, this one stood out to me, interest. Last week, he was the QB3 or the emergency quarterback. They said it was game plan reasoning. Now, all of a sudden, Jameis Winston with Deshaun Watson's torn Achilles is the starter in Cleveland. Does that make sense to you?
He should have been the starter in Cleveland. I don't know why they messed around with Deshaun Watson so long, but it does make sense. They were the team that they played probably felt like they couldn't stop option stuff, and DTR ran the hell out of the option on Sunday. Jameis, not as effective. So, I guess I get it. The Browns are, I don't want to give the Browns airtime, because Kevin Stefanski should be ashamed of himself. Andrew Berry should be ashamed of himself. Get fired. When are one of these rich nincompoops going to stand up for what the hell they believe in instead of being ass-kissing yes-men?
Because
I would have told Jimmy Haslam,
coach of the year.
I would have told Jimmy Haslam to go kick rocks when he tried to force me to trade for Deshaun Watson.
Right.
And I would have got fired.
Right.
And because I'm a two-time coach of the year, guess what? I wouldn't have been unemployed for long.
Okay, that's fair. One of those came last year, so that was obviously after the Deshaun Watson decision was made. The Capitals are home tonight, 7:30 face-off again. Local coverage only because the game's not on Monumental. It's on TNT, and TNT does a great job. But if you want the local call, John Walton, Ken Sabourin, and the crew over on 106.7 The Fan, 7:15 for the pregame, 7:30-ish for the puck drop. Back at Capital One Arena after the Capitals went on the road, swept both New Jersey in overtime Saturday, and stepped on the gas pedal and never really let up against Philadelphia last night. Two shorthanded goals for the Washington Capitals last night. Dowd had one, and then McMichael had the great pass to on the second shorthanded goal, but McMichael had the great pass, and then they got a couple of goals from the defenseman, most notably Johnny Carlson and company. So the Capitals won last night 4-1. They play the Flyers again tonight, looking for win number 5 in a row. I know you're not a big hockey guy, but I also understand that you understand. I would say the number one thing that jumps out to me, besides Tom Wilson's ridiculous start, and he didn't score last night, so I should point that out, but 5 goals in the first 4 games, the number one thing that jumps out to me is that everybody is taking their turn. The defensemen are scoring.
Yep.
It's not just John Carlson. It's the guy they got from Ottawa. Why I can't think of his name. Jacob Chychrun. Good Lord. Jacob Chychrun's got a couple of goals already.
I think
2 or 3 assists. Like, they're getting it from everywhere, all the lines. Connor McMichael is off to a great start. Pierre-Luc Dubois hasn't scored a goal yet, but he's been really good at center on one of their top lines. So, and they're getting a good rotational. I know it's early in the hockey season. Not that many people care, but...
Yeah, there are stark differences.
Yeah.
You know, if you look at, you know, some of the numbers through 5 games last year and now, the goal scoring thing is huge. But it's not just about the number of goals, which is obviously sizably increased, but it's the different goal scorers too.
Yeah.
I agree.
No doubt. By the way, one of the sort of sometimes tenets, certainly of Capital One Arena, and certainly one of the sister organization, if you will, of the Capitals and the Wizards, making big sweeping changes at the head of their basketball operations. The Tebows are out, both coach and general manager. I thought the Mystics, they got off to a horrible start. I think they were 0-12, if memory serves me correct.
Yeah, man.
But I think they were really competitive down the stretch. I'm a little surprised by this. Not mega, but a little.
I'm not.
Okay.
When you don't draft Andrew Reese and you miss the playoffs and you stink, you should get fired. I go back to their decision that they did not make.
That's the one thing.
That's the one thing that I've held over them all year long. And it's been very clear that she was much better than who we drafted. And Aaliyah Edwards. Love Aaliyah Edwards. Great woman. But Angel Reese would have won you.
But the 0-12 start didn't bother you? Or you know, like, you know what I'm saying?
You
like, that wasn't
team.
Just
you,
because
you,
were, you didn't
you were
draft.
Going to be, you were going to be a bad team anyway. You let Natasha Cloud go via free agency. You had a big-time injury to the best member of your front court. Like, they weren't going to be good to start the season anyway. They got better as they got healthier.
Right.
But I just think passing on Angel Reese is a fireable offense.
Now, they won a championship. I mean, obviously, you know, when Mike Tebow was the head coach, right, they won a championship.
You don't think that has anything to do with the decision either? They can't get Elena Deladon to come back?
Well, I mean, maybe. And that's all part. Look, I'm not an expert. I'll let Hoffman, obviously. I'm sure he'll have extensive coverage about this. One thing that is very noticeable with Caitlin Clark's emergence, and don't get me wrong, she's driving the entire league.
Let you tell it.
But there is a level of impatience that I don't remember. Five now WNBA head coaches have been canned since their seasons ended. This one took a couple of weeks. I mean, they didn't just stop playing yesterday. This one took a couple of weeks.
I don't think the timing's off by it, though. They had some decisions that they needed to make in-house. And that's the decision they came to.
All right.
Who they hire next is what I'm most curious with. Because you got not just a GM. Yeah, head coach, too.
Yeah.
And I wonder how involved Mike Winger is.
He's the president of basketball operations. Right. I would hope
so
that he's pretty involved.
Do they go with a traditional GM?
Yeah, I don't.
Is my question.
Yeah, that I don't know. And last thing about clean up on aisle three is this. I would say the Wizards season opener tomorrow night represents an opportunity. And we'll talk more about this tomorrow night. Not only an opportunity to get off to a clean slate and send a message, if you will, because the Boston Celtics are coming in and they're the defending champions. I'm very interested to see if the Wizards can be really, really good defensively. We'll talk more about this tomorrow, obviously. But between Sarr and obviously Bilal Coulibaly and some of the other pieces that they've added here and there, I think this team has a real good opportunity to be really good defensively, and I'll be disappointed if we see a lot of 125, type efforts. I just wanted to point that out. LeBron James last night making NBA history. A quick thought on what you saw in Los Angeles, because I thought it was cool the way J.J. Redick, who LeBron obviously orchestrated the hiring of, brought them in together off the bench at the same time.
It's excellence. History. That's what it was.
That's it?
Yeah, what else do you want me to say? It was history. And the Lakers won.
Yes, so. It was history. And the Lakers, but it was pretty cool the way they brought them in together, right?
That's how you do that.
Right. Well, I mean, you could have done it differently. LeBron could have been on the court already.
Well, Bronny wouldn't have played if it wasn't for the history-making moment. So, like, you bring him in at the same time.
Okay. That's fine.
I have no problem with him being
drafted. More
on
that and the Wizards tomorrow. Tomorrow on a Throwdown Thursday. I promise you that unless there's something huge, there won't be a lot on Jaden Daniels and even Marcus Mariota. There'll be a sprinkle. There won't be a lot. All right, coming
back. Clean up in aisle three.
Indeed. I always forget about Miss Sounder Girl. I always jump on her. All right, coming back. Pizza. A very popular pizza. Now we know the reason why. That's next. I thought this was the tune you were going to play. Oh, a little Eric Clapton for you. Cocaine, baby.
I'm actually upset that you all were giving this more publicity and airtime, the damn ignorance of that stupid-ass pizza chain. Because it's pure ignorance. It is disrespectful as hell. And it feeds into this lazy narrative about that certain individual who did nothing but put these rugrat-ass kids that are carrying around AKs now, they were in summer job programs before. So he shouldn't be made fun of, and I hate it.
Well, you're talking about something completely different.
Are you not talking about...
No.
It's time for Dumb Dumb of the Day.
Would you like a side of cocaine with your pizza? That's apparently what was happening... For pizza number 40, as they called it, in the heart of Dusseldorf, Germany, where police have now busted a cocaine drug ring that was featuring a side packet of cocaine slipped underneath every pizza that was sold. To customers, and was one of the most popular items on the menu. And how they busted it is interesting. In North Rhine-Westphalia, if I'm saying that right, they delivered the illegal narcotics scheme. About 150 officers, including from elite units, searched 16 properties in 9 cities, arrested 3 suspects, and seized caches of weapons, and figured out why the pizza was so popular. It was pizza number 40 again, as I mentioned, and the pizzeria's advertising slogan is, "We deliver everything home to you." So apparently, you couldn't buy it at the actual pizzeria because, you see, in order to get the cocaine safely to its customer, they had to bring it to one's home.
Oh, and he's good.
Yes. And that's how a 36-year-old owner of the pizza shop from Croatia apparently delivered the pizzas, and his staff delivered the pizza, and then he had a huge bag of cocaine with drugs, and when he got was about to get busted, he threw it out the window, and he threw it into the arms of the police officers that were on the scene. So, sir, and people of Dusseldorf, you now cannot get a side of cocaine with your pepperoni pizza, and I'm sorry about that.
Congratulations, you're Chris's dum-dum of the day.
You were referring to something completely different.
Yeah, but do you
which
not
we don't
see
have
I,
the time to get into.
Do you not see why I thought that's where you were going?
I do.
That's the biggest pizza cocaine story in the town.
I do.
So I'm sorry.
But, you know, also, yeah. There's some other reasons why we kind of, you know.
Omitted went, that?
Yeah, because there's, you know. There's just allegations that we can't prove. So we will, you know, we will attempt to just do what we do and try and make people laugh a little.
Better
I don't know if cocaine.
Better luck tomorrow, buddy.
Right, can I have a side of cocaine with my pepperoni pizza, please? That's what they said in Dusseldorf. Anyway, that's going to do it for us. What a wild, weird show. For those of you that were with us, we appreciate you. Thanks to Matty Ice. See you tomorrow at 1 o'clock if we're not all excommunicated before then and now. Adios.